Praise God. So good to see you this afternoon now. I was down at the prayer retreat yesterday and we had a wonderful time. It was absolutely amazing with Marcia. I want to encourage you next year to come along and book the weekend. The facilities are great and the ministry is fantastic. We had a great time yesterday, but it's so good to be back here with you guys. I could not stay. I had to come back. God is good. Amen. My sister just said to me that, what if my sister has a quick testimony? Could you do that? She came to our Wednesday service. In our Wednesday service, we see the miraculous happening. And my sister, if you could just give just a quick testimony, because I think this is going to just bless us, what God has done.
Good morning, saints. How are you today? Good. I'm actually lost for words. I didn't expect to be up here today, but I think it's good to praise the Lord for what He has done. You know, I went through a time for 2 years where I wasn't working, and I finished my degree, and it was just doors closing in every single way. And I remember God saying to me, I'm making all things new. And I didn't understand what that meant, because in the physical, you see what's happening in the physical, but God says, that He holds the key of David, that the door that He opens, no man can shut.
That's right, that's right.
And that's authority that we need to stand with as His people. And I remember going ahead to prayer, and we just had such a powerful time of worship. And God said, forget your situation, remember me. Praise me. And when we praise Him, our praises, they usher us into His presence. And nothing can withstand the power of God. And I remember that time my papers hadn't come through, nothing. I said, God, I don't know what's happening. I'm at the end of myself. And God said, I will do it. And so I went away for a while, and God did as He said, and He did immeasurably more. I came back now, and He said, you know, for me, the time in our eyes is the time as we see it.
Yeah.
We see it like, God, these years have been years of delay. No, He's put me in a different position.
Yeah.
People who've been in that company for 3 years, I'm doing their work. Because God said acceleration.
Amen.
Because He placed me there for the time that He had. So if you're waiting, know that God is there. Because He works in our waiting. And the type of favor that He has given me is only God's favor. So I just want to encourage you that in the waiting, He's preparing you. He's perfecting you. And the Spirit of God is just saying that, you know, your gifts will make room for you. And I think there's some of you who are sitting here feeling oppressed, like you have no gifts. God has given you gifts.
Amen.
And they'll make room.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Praise God. So today I want to bring you a message. I'm not going to be too long, but I just flow with the Spirit. A message that will inspire us to evangelize. I was challenged while I was away on holiday. God led me, and I spoke to three people, and they gave their lives to Jesus. While I was there on holiday, I received an email, and in Scotland, 270-plus people had come to Christ over 2 days of evangelism. And so I've been inspired by all of that. I want to tell you today that there is no greater joy than seeing people come to Christ. And the Bible said that even God and the angels will rejoice at only just one coming to Christ. And here, you know, I've seen people coming to Christ. I was overjoyed. My heart was thrilled. And this this message of salvation is so important to Jesus. Just before he went into heaven, he gave a command in Matthew chapter 28, and he says, go into all the world. He said, preach the gospel, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I have taught you. It's very important. The salvation is very, very important. But I believe what is needed more than ever before in our churches that will cause us to evangelize, what we need today in the church is an authentic connection with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it's more than just coming to church, listening to the praise and worship, and going home. We need a powerful connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have churches all over the world, but not everyone is preaching Jesus. I want to tell you that even at the mention, at the name of Jesus Christ, demons flee. At the mention of his name, captives are free. For there is, the song says, no other name that is higher than Jesus. People don't mind when you say God, and God is good, and God has done this. People don't mind that. But soon as you mention that Jesus Christ is Lord, people will take offense at that. There is power in the name of Jesus and who Jesus is to transform lives and to change this world. And the church has got to rise up, get on their feet, and go and release those who are captives in the name of Jesus. We got to do it. From where I'm standing, I don't really care who gets offended. I will call on the name of Jesus. We need to frighten some demons today. We need to call on his name and heal those who are sick. Call on his name. Break chains of oppression and depression. We need to call on the name of Jesus some more. I don't know if you believe that. We need to call on the name of Jesus. You know what saddens me in the church today? There is so much religion in the church. I don't know if you have seen it. Where people are just going through the motions. Going through the formalities. But what the church needs today is a real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The church cannot function without this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions. Today, God wants a church that is full of the Holy Spirit and fire. This is the church that he is building.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been to some places, some churches, where the Holy Spirit was never there. I've got to tell you. Jesus walked out and the church still carried on. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. I am hungry for an authentic, tangible, face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. You know what, on our Wednesday service, there's some of the Asian ladies, they're coming in from the Sikh, background, and they said, Jesus has appeared to me.
Yes.
How much more do you want than that Jesus appeared to me? They've given me scriptures from the Bible, and they said, I heard a voice, and the scripture came to me. I don't know where it came from. What does it mean? The church, again, can I say things, need that tangible experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need one of those. Saul on the Damascus Road encounter. We don't need religion. We don't need religion. We need Jesus. Religion cannot save you. All religion does is turn you into a conformist. It doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is is a follower of Jesus Christ. A Christian is a follower of Christ. You follow everything that everywhere that Jesus goes, and you say and do everything that he did. If you're not doing that, you need to check if you're still a Christian. You know what, I find it difficult to hold down my excitement sometimes when I talk about Jesus. Because when I think about Jesus, the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, the song says, my very soul cries out, Brother Murray, hallelujah. I know where you're coming from. My soul cries out, hallelujah. It says, thank you, God, for saving me. There are some things that, you know, that just requires our passion. There's some things that we just have to be very loud about. And I believe it's a time for the church to be loud about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Loud about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to hold me back. I'm going to be loud about the gospel of Jesus Christ because I know that there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ to save those who are lost. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. The only way to the Father. He is the first born from the dead. The inherent word of God. Paul reminds us in the book Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. That's why I'm so passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus and who he is. So who is this Jesus? As well as being Lord, he was a regular man like you and I. He walked with people from every sphere of life. The religious elite of the day did not like him. Because he hung out with sinners and tax collectors, prostitutes, and the down and outs. The broken were drawn to him. The sick were drawn to him. The infirmed of life were drawn to him. I want to ask you today as a church, who are drawn to you? The church. I hear some people say, oh yeah, that church is professional. I actually don't know what they mean. Is it that they have professional preaching? So professional that you cannot understand it? Is it that the praise and the worship is so professional? You cannot sing with them. Do you know, have you ever been to these churches? Perhaps this is a professional. No, it's not. No. You know where you can't even sing because they sound so good. Zalika, it's so good to have you back. Praise God. You know, I say to people, just sing. Don't worry about how you sound. Just sing. To Jesus, it sounds beautiful. No matter how you sound, your praise to God is beautiful. On Wednesday, Brother Paul, I don't know if anybody knows Brother Paul. He works with me on Wednesday. And so I handed in the mic just to praise God and just encourage the people. And then he began to sing. If you've heard Brother Paul sing before, you've heard Brother Paul sing. I have never heard anything like that before. It was so good, so bad. I wanted to run out of the church. But you know, when he was singing, his out of time singing, and his out of tune singing, was amazing to God. It was amazing to God because it was like a sweet smelling aroma going up to God. So I say to you, don't hold back your praise. Don't hold back your sin to God. Give it to Him no matter how you sound. Some people say, well, you know, I go to this church down there because all the rich folks, that's what I'm drawn to. All the rich folks go to that church. All the young people, go to that church, so I'm drawn to that one. All the blacks are down there, so that's where I'm going. All the whites are down there, that's where I'm going. That one is full of business people, as if the church of Jesus Christ is some kind of club. The church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual hospital where the broken come and they are healed. The church today of Jesus Christ is a place where I come to get it together. It's a place where I come to be healed, to be saved, to be delivered. And this is what the church of Jesus Christ needs to be doing today. This is a challenge for us, challenge for you, challenge for me. It's time for us to get up and do what Jesus did. If you're ever going to see the supernatural encounter and salvation in this place, you're going to have to connect with people the way Jesus did. Jesus did it. So we're going to have to connect with people the way Jesus did it. Let us read from John chapter 4, just the first 10 verses. It says this, John chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but the disciples. And so he left Judea and he went once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. And so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What the unsaved, what the unchurched people need in this time is an authentic encounter with Jesus that does not offend them, but draws them in through curiosity, through love, and through kindness. I don't know if you believe what I'm saying here. This is what we're going to have to do. There are people out there who are broken and destitute. The way you're going to reach them is through the love of Jesus, drawing them in. They become curious at what is happening. So often, our conversations around relationship with Jesus starts with how bad they are and how much they need to change, opposed to how good our God is and how much He loves them, even when they don't deserve it. And so many people suffer shame. When I was growing up, there were times I didn't want to go to church because I was feeling shame, and I would sit at the back waiting, so that the service could be over, so that I could run out because of shame. And so many people do not attend church because they feel shameful. That's why we don't find them in church. You see, shame can only go as far in winning a soul. But shame will never keep a soul. Shame might take you to the altar, but after a little while, shame will cause you to resent God, because we all know in our hearts where we are, where we have been. We know where we are broken. I don't need to remind you every time, every place that you have failed. What I need is to tell you is a God that loves you, and that His blood, the blood of Jesus, can restore you and cover you. That's what the world needs today. Too long, our conversation has been rooted in shame. That's what religion does. Religion is religion. I was talking to somebody this week. Religion is a set of rules. Yes. Set of rules is, it's laws. And the moment you do something wrong, religion says, I'm gonna let you know about it. That's what it does. And that's what the old covenant did. It was a law. There is no way that it could be fulfilled. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Don't work on this day. Don't put this cotton with this fabric. And before you know it, the pressure is too much. And all you can say is, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Has anybody ever been there? And Jesus says, exactly. I know you cannot fulfill it. I know you cannot reach to those measures. And so Jesus comes and He does what we could never do. He fulfills the law, all the laws, and all the laws of the prophets. He fulfills it because we could never keep it. Thank God for Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. So here in John chapter 4, we see Jesus interacting with this woman by the well. She's a non-church girl. You know, she was out there in the world. And as far as I'm concerned, and as far as Jesus is concerned, actually there is no difference between those in the world and us. The only difference is that we have been saved by the blood of Jesus. And because of the grace of Jesus Christ, we can sit here and worship God because of the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we all would be lost. But I thank Jesus for the grace of God. You see, days are coming. I'm just prophesying to you now. When people are going to come into the church, they won't know the songs. They won't even look like you. They won't dress like you. But they belong to the Lord nonetheless. And God is going to challenge many of us. He's going to take us out of our comfort zone. People will be coming smelling of alcohol, smelling of cigarettes. Mommy, he smells of cigarette. No, darling, that's not cigarette. That's weed. Can we say weed in church? we quickly forget it. Where we were that Saturday night, where were you that Sunday morning? Where were you? Where were you when the blood of Jesus touched you? He found me. He rescued me. And he drew me, yes he did, with his love. You see, that's why when people are shouting in church and getting excited, I don't look over and wonder to myself, I wonder what is happening there. I will even shout with them and encourage them. You know why? Because you don't know what they have been through to get them in church that Sunday morning. You don't know what they've been through. That's what I will say to people. You shout. You sing. You praise. Because I don't know what you have been through during the week. They're not trying to impress you. They're just saying, thank you. Jesus. We need a passion again.
Come on.
We need a passion again in the church.
Yes.
And so in this scripture, Jesus is heading to Galilee. He says, guys, I've got to go to Galilee, but I must go through Samaria. When you look at the map of that region, you could actually go straight to Galilee from where he was. And then Jesus went out of his way. He had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. He didn't have to, but he had to. He went out of his way. And that's what you do when you have an assignment on your life. You're going to go out of the way. Out of the way for somebody. Because somebody is dying. You're going to have to go out of your way. It's going to become uncomfortable. At some point in the night, they call you at 1:30 in the morning when your sleep is sweet and you get a call and you're going to have to go out of your way because somebody is dying. Jesus had to go out of his way to get to Galilee. This year I wanted a Caribbean holiday. And so a few weeks ago I was in Cuba. I could have gone to any other island. I could have gone to Jamaica. I could have gone to Mexico, St. Lucia. I'm sure none of us would mind going out of our way to Cuba, would we? I'm sure you wouldn't. But I had to go to Cuba because there was an assignment on my life. Jesus wanted to meet three people by the well.
Amen. Amen.
When I went there, three people came to Jesus. Just like the woman at the well. Jesus had to go out of his way. He was compelled. He had to do it. This was a God assignment. You can understand. Or you cannot understand. Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They did not like them. They thought they were a lower class of people. They could not stand them. They would argue about where the right place was to worship. The Jews will say that it's in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. The Samaritans would say that it's in this place on Mount Gerizim. But the Bible says that at the sixth hour, which was noon, Jesus was tired, so tired that he had to sit down and he waited. Jesus was intentional. He knew where he was going and he knew what he was doing. We need to be intentional. The 6th hour was the hottest part of the day, and most people would not want to draw water at that time because it was so hot. And even collecting water was not a woman's job. It was likely that at this time the well would be empty, and this woman, she did not want to see anyone. She did not want to encounter the rest of the village because of her soiled reputation. You know what religion will make you do? Religion will make you not want to come to church, because too many religious people will look at you as if you've already been convicted. Not realizing that the blood of Jesus Christ was already shed for whatever you came for. Already shed. 2,000 years ago, he said, "It is done, it is finished." You get to church in your situation, and I'll meet you at that well. We become religious, and we convict them, not realizing that the blood of Jesus is there waiting for them. What can wash away my stain? Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He loves you so much with an everlasting love. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you have done, there is still enough blood to cover you. And as this woman is approaching the well, she's at the well now. And Jesus said to her, "Please, lady, give me a drink. Can I get into character so that we just put it in a everyday language so that we understand?" You can imagine this woman. It's not actually written in the scriptures, but she probably would have said something like, "You're crazy. You don't even know my name. You're a Jew, right? Jew. You know the problems that's happening with the Jews now. I'm a woman. A woman from Samaria. How can you ask me for a drink? You've got to have the nerve. We have nothing to do with the Jews. And you ask me for a drink." And this is Jesus' response. "If you knew who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman, "How can you come to draw water?" In Jamaica, they would say, "With your two long hands." And you've got nothing to draw with. And actually, the well is so deep. And what's this living water stuff that you're talking about? Where do you get it? Because you ain't gonna get it down here. Anyhow, are you greater than my father Jacob, who actually built this well? His cattle drank from it, and his family drank from it. Jesus, "Lady, look, calm down. Let's not get into this conversation right now." And then Jesus takes it to the next level. And he says, "I'll tell you what, this is what you do. Go and call your husband. I Don't go, but use my cell phone. I'm just dramatizing this, all right? Do you know what I mean, Zalika? And she says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus says, you're right. You're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five. And the one you're living with now surely is not your husband. The woman. I told you. These people around here cannot keep a secret. Yabbing, 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 yabbing. And now my whole business is in the town. There's three things that Jesus is showing us here. One is that we need to be relational. We need to be relatable as a church. And we need to be relevant. Relatable, relational, and we need to be relevant. And Jesus related to her based on where she was. He knew what was going on in her life, but Jesus did not judge her. Our approach would be something like, something's wrong with her. Five husbands. She can't even keep a man. And now she's living with this guy. Jesus said to her, please, give me a drink. And what she was saying in her response was, I don't even know you. And Jesus' response was, well, if you know who I am, you would ask me. And I will give you living water, and you will never thirst again. There's the relationship. Now she wants to know a little bit more. She said, tell me, sir. Tell me about this living water. And Jesus is very wise. I guess he didn't want anyone to see him talking to this woman, because when you think about it, you don't know her reputation, having five husbands and living with this guy. People might have think that she, you know, Jesus was hitting on her. And then Jesus turns, but before that Jesus turns, she says, you know, I have no husband. When Jesus says, you know, go and get your husband, she says, I don't have a husband, I'm not married. As if Jesus didn't know. And then he turns into the Lord and he says, I know you don't have a husband. You've had five and none of those relationships have worked. You are so hurt that you don't want to even bother anymore to get married. You've decided to just live with this guy. And then she says, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. If you're going to win souls, saints, you're going to have to be relational, you're going to have to be relevant, and you're going to have to be relatable. We don't win people by being judgmental or hostile or angry. If you don't give your life to Jesus, you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn. Actually, you're going to drop off at the end of this world, right into hell. Into hellfire. How scary would that be? And even though it's true, the Bible says that Jesus drew us with loving kindness. Amen. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. With loving kindness, he draws us. She was broken. But Jesus spoke to her core. And what he was saying was that if you knew who I am, you would stop thirsting for something else to fill that void. You have been married five times and it hasn't worked. You've been rejected by men. And in those days, all the man had to do was give her a bill of divorce. Actually, all he needed to say, say was, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And they were divorced. 5 times she had been through that and she had given up. She was broken. And Jesus comes along and he ministers to her. She wanted to do the right thing because she tried 5 times. But now she's saying, I cannot be bothered anymore. She was getting hurt over and over again. And she gave up. But Jesus interrupted her pain. This is what he does. He interrupted her brokenness. And he said that there is something that you have been longing for. And if many of us are true to ourselves, there are things that we're longing for and we're looking for in other areas that cannot be filled by men or women. Only Jesus can fill it. Amen. There are things that you're looking for in other men. You've been married 5 times. You're living with a 6th man. But here comes the 7th.
Come on.
I don't know if you get that.
Yes.
I want to declare today to you that Jesus Christ, let me have the keyboard. Jesus Christ is your 7th man.
Yes.
Because when the Bible speaks about 7, 7 is the number of completion. She had 5. Son of the living God. is speaking to some people here. God doesn't want you to just be existing anymore. But God wants to meet you at the well. He wants to meet you at the well. I don't care if you've been coming to church 10, 15, 20 years. Jesus is saying right now he's looking for people that he can meet at the well because he wants to transform their lives. Turn them around. Make them effective in his kingdom. I'm going to call you. If this is you, God doesn't, he's not even looking at where you've been, what you have done. He doesn't care about that. But he's looking for people who's going to say, I am available, Lord. Available people. I need a real Jesus encounter. I've been coming to church.
He wants to build you up and use you. But
too long you've been in the background and you've been just existing. But I hear the Spirit of God say that your time is coming, because He's meeting you at this well, and He's going to use you. People are going to look on and say, is that her? Is that her? Because God is changing you by His Spirit right now. Are you ready to receive? Stretch your hands to me. Just prophesy over her. Speak into her life right now. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, I break. Rhea, I break right now every hold on you. Rabo Soto, Spirit of the Living God. Flow now, flow her. Yotorababa, fruit her. In the name of Jesus, I release you. Yeah, the strongholds have been broken right now. Broken right now. Yeah, Karababa. In the name of Jesus. Loose her, let go. You're right at the well. Receiving right now. The Spirit of God is just coming upon you. Lord, give her more. Give this woman at the well more, God. Make her an evangelist. Use her for your glory. Give her more. 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 Yeah, the transformation is taking place right now in you. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, I release you. 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 I release you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give God a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that needs healing in here? You need healing in your body?